Hey, it's a Friday before February. Baseball things, stuff with baseball.
It's
baseball
literally
things start next
a
month.
Friday before February.
No, it is the Friday before February. There's no more Fridays before February this year.
It is also a...
Well, yeah, I guess that's true.
Friday.
That's accurate. It's an accurate take. Yeah, why not? Well, that was ruined.
coming hot and fresh.
Hey, coming in hot and fresh. Friday morning. Get set for a big stuff in your ear canals with a...
We are so post-hot take here. We are accurate takes here.
Butt crack in the morning. Yeah, and I was even going to say, like, hey, man, first time talking to you after the holidays, whatever. But I forgot we actually recorded one right after New Year's. So really, we have nothing exciting or fresh right out of the gate on this episode. Nothing at all.
Man, I want you to write my PR.
I get paid a very small amount of money to write things for people. And hey, everybody, with that, welcome in. It is the 93rd episode of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast. We decided last week our format change to be a Rockies podcast that talked about Rocky, the movies. Probably not that great of a thing. So we're back to talking Rockies baseball, so that's good. It's good.
We got bored.
Steps in the right direction.
After a couple of minutes of that.
Yeah, you know, it happens. But here we are, episode number 93. In 1993, the city of Denver entered its major league era when the Colorado Rockies opened play first at New York against the Mets. That's kind of a boner decision by Major League Baseball. Like,
yeah, right.
All right, Colorado, we'll give you a team that you've been hoping you would get for 50 years. Yeah. And don't worry, they will open on the road. But Rockies came home. Handed the ball on opening day 1993 to Bryn Smith, a legend in Colorado Rockies history, mostly just for his beard. Bryn Smith, by the way, was like 700 years old when he joined the Rockies. He was 37.
I believe he actually was friends with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. They played together coming up in the minors, Bryn Smith and Jesus. Bryn Smith, by the way, whose name is like etched in my mind as like, oh, one of the original Rockies. He only pitched in 11 games for the Rockies and he only made five starts.
Same, because I think I have all of his baseball cards from when he was with the Rockies in those initial inaugural season 1993 sets.
Yeah,
I have them all, and he was all a part of that.
Yeah,
and he was like a drop in the bucket.
11 games. Yeah, and not only that, but like, it's like it wasn't great. It wasn't a great run. It's not like he went out and he just like blew things out of the water for the Rockies. He put up an ERA of a paltry 8.49. In his Rockies career in 11
games.
And
I still think of Bryn Smith. I'm like, oh, man, original Rocky. What a great guy he was. He must have been awesome.
And not only that, but like
baseball.
Opening day, he was terrific. 7 innings pitched against the Expos in a game that I attended at 7 years old on April 9th, 1993. 7 innings, 6 hits, no runs. This is a weird one. No walks, 1 strikeout. A little bit strange. But Bryn Smith just like shoved, and then you like barely heard from him again. Oh, well.
Yeah, well,
whatever. The Rockies won that game, by the way, 11-4. And Steve Reed gave up all 4 of those runs in the ninth inning. I forgot that they were leading that game 11-0 going into the top of the ninth. It was like, man, shut out their first home game. This is going to be a pitcher's paradise. And then not so much for the next 25 years.
So we can blame Steve Reed for everything.
It's all Steve Reed's fault.
Yeah.
One of my favorite all-time Rockies, Steve Reed. 51 years old now. Good God almighty. So anyway, hi, and welcome in episode number 93 of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast. I'm Tyler Mon.
And I'm Anthony Masterson.
And on today's show, we're going to talk some actual baseball with an actual baseball guy, Darren Everson. The last 2 seasons, he has been the manager for the Rockies AA affiliate. Last year, the Hartford Yard Goats. The year prior, the same franchise, but they were known as the New Britain Rock Cats back in the 2015 season. We'll talk with Darren Everson. He has been promoted to be the hitting coach for the AAA Albuquerque Isotopes. We'll discuss that coming up here in just a little bit as the Rockies released field staffs for the 2017 season at all the minor league levels, as well as their player development staff for 2017. We'll talk about that as the show gets rolling along today. But how you been, man?
You know, keeping busy.
That's good.
Long Beach State, that's work. Good. Super Bowl coming up on Fox next week.
What is that?
The Super Bowl?
Yeah, what is it? Never heard of it.
It's some big sport game.
Okay. Like a ball sport?
Yeah, it is a ball sport. Yes.
Okay.
Just like Rochambeau.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah. Did you call it Rochambeau growing up?
I'm not sure I had a name for it, but I was young enough that when I started doing that with my friends, it was like, oh, we got it from South Park.
Oh, okay. See, and that's weird because that's a show based on kids in Colorado. I didn't know anybody who called it Rochambeau when I grew up here.
No.
We called it Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Well, yeah.
We're not deviants, you weirdos.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't do it. Don't blame me.
Anyway.
I voted for Kodos.
So, yeah, no, you know, staying busy. That's good. That's good. What's the wedding countdown?
Oh, boy. We just passed, 8 months?
Holy smokes.
September 23rd.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, it's January, 27th now? Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah. It's getting there. Save the date's going out, I believe, next week.
Okay.
Don't look for yours in the mail.
Okay. I'm not going,
good.
No, that's fine.
No.
Craig Goldstein and I have a prior engagement at Things for People Verified on Twitter.
Yeah, well,
that last week in September, man, that's always a packed week. There's always things going on that week.
Week 3 in the NFL?
Yeah. College football's getting rolling.
The second to last week of the regular season?
Yeah, exactly. That's always it's always an interesting week. Things happen that week. It's like the witching hour for me.
You can't come. You're not invited anyway. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. Oh, yeah. That's good. No, that's good.
I'll invite Cam in your place.
Yeah, you should actually. That'd be great. Cam and I got coffee a couple weeks ago when he was back for Christmas. It was great. I drive up to. We were gonna meet midway between Denver and Boulder to go get coffee. And then I get a text. Well, kinda. We were gonna meet in Louisville, I think, somewhere. But then I get a text that says I might be a little late. This is after we had gotten a decent amount of snow, but it says I might be a little late. I got the car stuck, and I said, stuck as in like still stuck or stuck as in like you're on your way? And he was like, oh no, still stuck. And I was like, oh good. Do you just want me to come up to Boulder?
Do you need help?
And Cam was like, oh yeah, that'd be awesome. So I drive to Cam's house. And I expect to turn the corner. Cam will be
palatial
waiting on the
estate.
Front porch. Yeah. He got the car back into the garage, whatever. No, Cam is standing in the middle of the road with his mom's minivan just stuck in the middle of the road. Not even like off to one side, like the middle of the street. It's stuck. And to be fair to Cam, it was like one of those days where like we had gotten a bunch of snow and then it had gotten pretty warm. So it didn't melt a ton. It just turned everything into like a foot of slush.
Sure.
So not an easy thing to drive in. Certainly not an easy thing to drive in when the only access to a car you have is to a minivan. So Cam's car is stuck. I drive up. We go get shovels. We dig the car out. We get it back. But then as we're pulling the car into the garage, Cam's dad pulls up. And poor Cam's dad had just gotten in a car accident like 3 minutes earlier. So I guess front fender's all messed up. It was not a good day for the Goldner family with cars.
My God, man.
Not good. But we got coffee and it was all great.
Yeah, when we got screwed getting out of Wyoming for Christmas, we got stuck in there for another day in Delta. Oh, is the absolute worst place in the entire planet.
Wyoming, I know.
We're going to the Cody Airport in Wyoming. And we drove and it had been blowing snow all day. So we ended up getting, you know, stuck and earth like got canceled. We didn't know that it's the time though, so we drove in. My sister dropped us off, then she drove back 20 miles to Powell, and then we got our flight canceled, and then she had to come back, and she waited outside for 20 minutes while we're on the phone with Delta trying to figure things out.
Fun.
And in that 20 minutes after she came back, there's one road that goes from the road to the Cody Airport. There's like one ingress and egress point, and we're leaving. The road was blowing snow so much that there was a foot and a half of packed powder that was stuck between the middle of the road and the actual exit point. So
awesome.
We're going through it in like a Toyota Camry trying to get through it, and we eventually get stuck. We're spinning our tires. And Nicole has never dealt with snow before in her entire life. She was born in Cupertino. She grew up in Scottsdale. She's lived in LA. She's never had snow anywhere ever in her life.
It's pretty adorable too. Like when she sees snow and immediately like posts on Instagram or on Twitter, like, oh my God, it's snowing. It's so cute.
Yes.
So cute.
So we're like, okay, well, we got to get out and push. And so we were not dressed for this at all. We're dressed to go on a plane to go back to LA. And so we had to get out, like push the car, and we're like we're spinning our own tires. Like, we're trying to get, we can't get anything going. So, like, all right, we got to rock the car back and forth. We rocked it back and forth. My sister was, like, pushing from the side, and we eventually got it going. And it's, at this time, it's, like, a minus 20-degree wind chill outside in Cody, Wyoming. It's like, 5 degrees in general. It's a 30-mile-an-hour gust. We eventually get it through there, and Nicole, like, climbs in and, like, basically almost passes out in the back seat because it's just such an ordeal. Like, oh, yeah, well, welcome to Wyoming winters. This is your lot in life now. Yeah.
The future Mrs. Masterson almost died while trying to rescue her husband, her future husband. Good job, man.
Yeah, well. Anyway, Rockies baseball.
That's what she stuck with, though. Anyway, Rockies baseball, man.
Yeah.
Catch the fever. Get excited. No, there's actual baseball news kind of to talk about. Not, you know, on field, but soon to be on field. This story from Thomas Harding, our good pal at MLB.com. Quote, the Rockies and two-time all-star righty reliever Greg Hollander closing in on a one-year deal with a vesting option for a second year pending a physical, according to various media reports that were confirmed by a baseball source. Greg Holland, very, very good time with the Kansas City Royals, but risky in that he's coming off of Tommy John surgery. And I think baffling in that nobody expected the Rockies to win these sweepstakes. The Washington Nationals were very much in on Greg Holland. The Rockies, we knew, had kind of been exploring the option of a deal. But I don't think many people expected the Rockies to come out on top in this situation. They may have had an asset in the fact that Rockies pitching coach Steve Foster was, as Thomas notes, the Royals bullpen coach when Holland broke into the big leagues back in 2010. That was believed to be part of the reason why he made this decision. But this is pretty exciting. I mean, Greg Holland was the guy when Kansas City started getting things on a roll. Now, last year, obviously, not healthy. And so it's always a risk taking on a guy who's coming off of Tommy John surgery. And adding him to Coors Field doesn't necessarily scream that he's a contender for a breakout bounce-back year. But you got to be excited about this.
Yeah, I mean, Greg Holland from 2013 to 2014, he converted 93 of 98 saves for the Royals. He had an ERA of 1.32. He struck out 193 batters in 129 and a third innings. He was arguably the best pitcher in baseball, best reliever in baseball over a two-year span, and it was not that long ago. And it's a fantastic deal for the Rockies because they need to be able to take flyers on guys like this. And I know he had a bidding war for him at least a little bit from what we could tell. But $7 million seems like a lot for a reliever for 1 year. But this is what the Rockies have to do if they want to get back into contention. They have to be able to win these kind of sweepstakes for guys that wouldn't necessarily think about the Rockies at all if money wasn't involved. And I think this is a big coup for the Rockies if he can come back and be healthy. And I think one of the biggest things that is going for the Rockies in this regard is that Greg Holland has a guy already on the team who was pitched in Coors Field as a reliever. He has gone through Tommy John surgery, knows what's going on with the team, how to come back, what he needs to do to get back to pitch at altitude, in Adam Ottavino. And Ottavino will probably start the year as the closer, you have to imagine, barring injury, of course. But Greg Holland, if he can be healthy enough to slot into the eighth inning role, seventh inning role, whatever it may be initially before he gets back to those later innings potentially, he already has a guy who knows what it takes to pitch in at altitude, in Coors Field, whatever you want to call it. And really, he was one of the best relievers in baseball, if not the best reliever in baseball, just, what, 3 years ago? So I think it's a huge deal for the Rockies to get guys like that. And, you know, this is what we've seen a lot on Twitter this offseason when the Rockies make their signings of, you know, Mike Dunn and now Greg Holland, where the media comes in and says, oh, the Rockies, they're so adorable trying to sign relievers, as if the Rockies didn't have the worst bullpen ERA at all last year. It's like, oh, well, the Rockies, well, why are they signing so many relievers? Because their offense was really good already, and their bullpen was really bad already, and their starting rotation is kind of already set, and that's like the one area of need that they actually had for the team. It doesn't make any sense that people keep thinking like, oh, well, that's cute, the Rockies are trying to sign relievers.
Yep.
Like, well, yeah. no kidding. Why wouldn't they try to improve the biggest weakness, yep, of their team? It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
No, man. I mean, we've discussed this ad nauseum. The Rockies could sign the reincarnation of Babe Ruth, and people would still find a way to dump all over it. The reincarnation of Cy Young, and people would still find a way to say, yeah, but they're more than just one piece away. They can't win. But they go out and they throw some money They get Greg Holland. They
and
get
not
Mike
a lot
Dunn.
Of money. Like it's
no, that's the other thing.
It's also, it's not your money. You know, that's like the team had two real areas of need. They had first base and they had the bullpen. You can argue the first base isn't necessarily.
They
fixed.
Kind of addressed it.
They kind of addressed it, I guess. But the bullpen, they needed help in the bullpen. They signed Mike Dunn, one of the better relievers on there. You can say what you want about what you think he might do in Coors Field. I'm not a huge fan of the signing, but they're trying to get something done here. They needed a lefty. They got one. And they signed Greg Holland, who was probably the best of all the reclamation projects out there. And it's not like he's, 40 years old and on his last leg. I mean, he's going to be 30. He's 31 now.
He's 31.
He's got a full season off. I don't know. I think it's a very, very good deal. And they must have seen something good in the tryouts that they had. Otherwise, they wouldn't have put that money toward him. But, he was an absolutely dominant pitcher a few years ago. And I think it's a very, very good sign the Rockies want to be able to attract these kind of guys. And Greg Holland was an all-star. And I'm not sure what other offers he had. Nobody knows as of right now. Maybe he was getting lowballed by other teams. Who knows? But these are the players the Rockies will need to fortify that bullpen. And if he can regain even half of what he was a couple years ago, that's going to be a huge boost for the Rockies.
I don't know how you look at the moves that the Rockies have made in the bullpen and think they're anything other than a step in the right direction. I don't know if they go out and put up 2009 bullpen numbers, but you can't look at the additions of guys like Dunn and Holland and think, well, they're not doing anything to address the worst part of the team. And as we discussed at length in a prior episode, you can't have everybody in that bullpen be as bad simultaneously as they were last year. You'll have some guys who will struggle.
Oh, yeah, I see that, but
yeah, I mean, you'll have some guys who will struggle, but the fact of the matter is everybody fell apart simultaneously last year, and the odds just suggest that can't really happen again. They're the Rockies, so anything's possible, because we're all doomed to a life of misery. But one thing that I did notice that I thought was interesting was our good pal Mike Petriello of MLB.com pointed out this very, very, very much fits into the Jeff Breidich philosophy in the bullpen, in that everybody signed and everybody under contract for 2017 is a fastball slider guy. Just right. Like Jake McGee, just like Adam Ottavino, just like, Jason Mott last year when he was signed, Chad Qualls, there is a heavy emphasis on the fastball, and the slider seems to be the go-to secondary pitch for the vast majority of these guys. Dunn and Holland very much fit that right. mold. So I thought that was interesting that this it's very obviously the philosophy now.
Right, because the common knowledge for a long time was that, the Rockies need ground ball pitchers in Coors Field, and especially in the bullpen. And that's not the guys they're trying to get right now. Like Mike Dunn, Greg Holland, they're not ground ball pitchers whatsoever, but they're fastball slider guys, just like Adam Ottavino, who can get strikeouts. And that's what the onus is right now on the Rockies, and Jeff Breidich is trying to find these guys who can miss bats, not just keep the ball on the ground in Coors Field. And I think that's been a targeted market that the Rockies have been trying to find over the last couple of years since Breidich came in.
Mike Dunn, in his two seasons prior to last year, this number fell off a little bit last year, but prior to last year, he averaged greater than 10.9. Greater than 10.6 strikeouts per nine innings, which is something that the Rockies have really started to place a premium on. And Greg Holland, in his very, very good role from 2012 to 2014, struck out 12.2, 13.8, and 13.0 per nine innings. So they are guys who can reach back for a strikeout when you need it most. You have to have that in Coors Field, because in Coors Field, putting the ball in play can be enough a lot of the time. Doesn't matter how you put it in play. At Coors Field, just putting it in play counts for a lot more than elsewhere.
It's weird that it took this long for people to kind of realize that. I know baseball is trending more towards strikeouts over the last 5-10 years or whatever, but it really took people that long to realize that just flat out missing bats at Coors Field should be what they're trying to go for instead of just trying to hit the ball on the ground. I mean,
make them hit it on the ground. No, how about don't make them hit it at all?
Right?
Yeah. Seems like a very logical thought process.
If teams are constructing offenses to try and just hit home runs and they don't care if they strike out, why would you not try to at least get one part of those things heading in your direction, which is the strikeouts? They're going to hit home runs at Coors Field. We know that. But if you can get some strikeouts, hey, that's not a bad way to build a pitching staff if you can.
By the way, this now gives the Rockies a glut of guys who can close games. And I think that's an interesting component to this deal, because now you have four guys in the bullpen who are relatively young and five or six guys in total who have experience closing games. You know, Greg Holland, 30, age 32 season, pretty young. Jake McGee's pretty young. Adam Ottavino is pretty young. Carlos Estevez is very young. Jason Mott has had experience in that role. Chad Qualls. There are guys who are so familiar.
Miguel Castro did a little bit,
yeah, too. Miguel Castro did a little bit.
Blue Jays early in 2015.
Right. Yeah. And has that type of dominant closer stuff that you could see in that role. So for so long, we've bitched about, why not just let your best guy go out for a given situation and close games out that way? I'm not saying that Bud Black is going to embrace a bullpen staff type of idea, a closer by committee type of idea, but the versatility is now there. If the Rockies want to go that route, now you have Jake McGee for tough left-handed hitters late. Now you have Adam Ottavino if you want him in situational components to games rather than being just the guy you trot out there in the ninth, because you have options in Greg Holland and in Carlos Estevez if he can be that guy that he was at times last year as a closer. And that, I think, is a really big thing for this bullpen too.
Well, yeah, and we saw in the playoffs last year, and obviously it's hard to mimic what you do in the playoffs, like with the relationship or the relation to bullpens and how the Terry Francona used Andrew Miller and how Zach Britton was not used by Buck Showalter. It's hard to do that over a full season because guys can get tired. They can't be used to that kind of overuse because you have such a small sample size in the postseason in October that it's easier to maneuver guys and manipulate them over the span of a week rather than a span of a month or two. So you won't see necessarily what we saw in the postseason last year with the reliever revolution, as a kind of word, using closers in the fifth inning and, you know, whatever. But it does give a manager so many different options. If you have faith in four guys to get outs late in games, if you have your biggest, highest leverage situation in the seventh inning, you're not going to be scared to go to your closer Adam Ottavino, because you know if he gets out of it and you still have a lead going the ninth inning, you've got a guy who saved, you know, 90% of his games in his career coming in Greg Holland in the ninth inning if you get to that point. So you save yourself having to blow through your bad parts of your bullpen in the highest leverage situation because you're not managing your bullpen correctly, and then you don't have a save to get. When you have guys you can trust in the back end of the bullpen, and when was the last time the Rockies had more than two or three guys in the back end of the bullpen they could actually trust? I think it was 2009, because it's always been guys that go through streaks. You know, you've had, oh, well, Carlos Estevez looks great for a couple of weeks, and then he gives up hits to everybody in the ballpark over the next week. You know, everybody's been like that and never seeming to gel at the exact same time. But this seems like the Rockies are trying to put together a team of guys who, you know, in theory, you have to imagine, it's obviously very much wishful thinking, that will be able to handle those high leverage situations no matter when they're called upon. And that's, you know, with the resources that Jeff Bridich had on the free agent market, I think he's done exactly what he needed to do. He wasn't going to get Aroldis Chapman.
Right.
You know, trading for Wade Davis, you know, I guess you could have probably found a deal there, but it would have cost you something probably decent, like a, you know, David Dahl or Raimel Tapia, considering what the Royals were asking for Wade Davis. So I don't know. I think he's done a very admirable job at trying to build on the Rockies' biggest weakness from last year.
Sidebar story to this from MLB.com today. We're recording on Friday the 27th. Quote, hard-throwing Rockies left-hander Jake McGee has been confirmed as a member of Team USA for the 2017 World Baseball Classic, MLB.com's John Paul Morosi reported on Friday. McGee joins his Colorado teammate, third baseman Nolan Arenado, on what is shaping up to be a stacked U.S. roster for the upcoming tournament.
First, Jake McGee takes a girl on a date in 2013, and then never he gets the returns. World Baseball Classic in 2017.
Right?
Man, what a charmed life that guy's living.
That dude is living a charmed life. The U.S. will host Pool C at Marlins Park in Miami. They'll take on Colombia on March 10th in their first game. And then, not an easy pool, they'll take on the Dominican Republic and Canada. Anthony and I,
considering we have tickets
have
for
some
the semifinal and
we
the
do.
Final,
we certainly do.
They better be there. That's all I gotta say.
Yep.
It's at Dodger Stadium this year, March 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
So pumped.
You're gonna come out.
So pumped. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be great. We're all set to go. I very cautiously want to be optimistic about them. That roster is loaded right now. We heard earlier this week that Giancarlo Stanton, he'll take a spot in the lineup for the U.S. team. This feels like a roster that should be considered a favorite. You know, no
but
one's going to be there.
You know, every year it seems like that. Oh yeah, well the USA should win, and they never do.
Yeah, yeah. But I think in the past we've always just sort of thought they should win because they're the U.S. and they should put together a loaded roster. But you know, I mean, we've had to get excited about like Shane Victorino on U.S. teams,
Ted Lilly,
and. You know, before he was good, Matt Holliday was on the 06 team when he was like 22 years old. So I think it's like, I don't want to get excited because I get excited for the U.S. team in every WBC and then they let me down. They've only made the semis once. And that was in 2009 at Dodger Stadium. They lost to, I believe Japan. Can't remember now, but either way, I want to get excited, but I don't want to let myself get excited. But this is a possible lineup defensively that our good pal Nick Stellini threw out on Twitter the other day. And it looks like this. Buster Posey behind the plate. Nolan Arenado at third base. Brandon Crawford at short. Daniel Murphy at second. Paul Goldschmidt at first. And then in the outfield, left, center, and right, Christian Yelich, Andrew McCutchen, Giancarlo Stanton. Like,
I mean, that's really good. Like, yeah, I want it all.
I'm liking it. But then Jake McGee in the bullpen. So you never know. There's ups and downs.
So it's gonna be great when they get a five to two lead in the seventh inning. They bring in Jake McGee.
Jake McGee somehow gives up a go ahead grand slam with only one guy on. Yeah, that'll be great. It'll be great. So WBC, the first sort of meaningful games of the baseball season starting on March 10th. We're only about a month away from spring training games. I know as of yesterday, there was a tweet from Camelback Ranch, the home of the White Sox and the Dodgers, that said 1 month, I believe it was yesterday, it might have been Wednesday, but 1 month from the first game of spring training at that facility. So we're closing in on that. And with that in mind, the Colorado Rockies have announced their minor league field staff for the 2017 season, and we'll roll through just kind of the most important ones and some changes. Director of Pitching Operations is Mark Wiley. That's the same. Doug Linton is the pitching coordinator. That's the same. But Daryl Scott, who was last year's AAA pitching coach in Albuquerque, he is now another pitching coordinator at the organizational level for the Rockies, which I thought was an interesting move. The Rockies bumped up Asheville pitching coach Mark Brewer to that pitching coach spot in Albuquerque. Glenn Allen Hill will manage that staff. Darren Everson, who was last year's manager with AA Hartford and the guest on this week's edition of the Purple Dinosaur podcast.
Yeah, so
he's the hitting coach there, so stay tuned. Jerry Weinstein takes over as manager for AA Hartford. He has for the last several seasons been the special instructor to player development for the Rockies. A long, long managerial career for Jerry Weinstein. And he is the manager of the Israel team, which made its way into the WBC out of a qualifying round last year.
Yeah, they're getting some talk behind them.
Yeah, they got
well.
Some love.
Yeah.
They were in the Brooklyn qualifier and made their way through to qualify for the tournament. And Jerry Weinstein will pilot that team. Dave Burba is back as a pitching coach in Hartford. Tim Doherty moves up from rookie level Grand Junction, where he was the hitting coach, to AA, where he will be the hitting coach there. The high A staff all remains the same. It's Freddie Ocasio who is managing. Brandon Emanuel is the pitching coach. The only spot that has yet to be filled on that staff is hitting coach, which is still listed as TBD. Asheville at the Class A level, Warren Schaefer will remain there as manager. He's one of the real young up-and-comers in the staff for the Rockies player development side. Ryan Kibler, who has been the pitching coach in Grand Junction for quite some time, he moves up to Asheville. Norberto Martin will be the hitting coach there. Short season Boise will be piloted by Scott Little. He was their hitting coach last year. One of the assistant coaches on that team is Mike Devereaux. He was the hitting coach in Asheville last year. Robinson Cancel is another coach. But there's
Mike
a name
Devereaux,
on that
Wyoming
staff.
Native. Woo.
Yeah, sorry. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
There's a name on that Boise staff that really stands out. Bob Apodaca. Yes,
oh.
That one. He's now the pitching coach for short season Class A Boise.
Welcome
that
back,
is
Dak.
Interesting. He's been an assistant pitching coordinator in the organization for a while. But to go from, you know, major league pitching coach to kind of an overseeing role and then to the low minors, I think a lot of people would take that as like, oh, Bob Apodaca, look at this joker. I think that's really cool. Bob Apodaca has long been a hands-on developmental kind of guy. And to be not only somebody who has been a major league pitching coach, but has been at an overseer's type of level, and, oh, by the way, is 66 years old, to go from those roles and say, no, man, I want to work with the kids. I want to work with the young kids and take a job at Class A short season Boise as pitching coach, that's awesome. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's very cool. It's good to see that he wants – there's no ill will, I guess, toward the Rockies organization. They want him back. They want to put him in charge of guys who could potentially be pitching in Coors Field the next few years. So, yeah, I think it's great that he wanted to do that. It's a, you know, 2-3 month commitment out of his time as well. It's not like he's there for the entire season. It's a short season team. But, man, I think it's very, very cool. And Mike Devereaux, a lot of, like, old big leaguers coming back and coaching. Doug Jones, Lee Stevens, I mean – in Grand Junction as well. Like, that's pretty cool. I don't know. It adds a nice little touch. It adds a bit of major league flavor to those kids coming out of college or coming out of high school or whomever.
Frank Gonzalez is back in Grand Junction as manager. He is a Fort Collins native and a CSU product, and also the father of St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Marco Gonzalez. Doug Jones is Anthony noted pitching coach in Grand Junction. He was with Boise last year, and Lee Stevens is the hitting coach. He was in Boise last year as well. So those staffs are out there. It's good to see a lot of continuity in the system. There aren't a lot of people who've been brought in from outside the system. I think that speaks well of what the Rockies are doing in player development. Jerry Weinstein, I'm interested to see how he is with Hartford being the manager there after a layoff as a manager and a guy who's been at a higher level in player development. And Bob Apodaca, I think that's really cool.
I completely agree. But let's bring on Darren Everson.
Yeah, let's go for it. Darren Everson, double-A manager in the Rockies system the last 2 years. Guy who's been in the organization for a little while, was an assistant on the double-A Tulsa staff prior to the 2015 season, was a hitting coach there, and this year moves up to triple-A where he will serve as the hitting coach on the staff of Glenn Allen Hill, who's in his fifth season as the manager of the triple-A Albuquerque Isotopes. Darren Everson joins episode 93 of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast next. We're just about a month away from spring training games getting underway in Arizona and in Florida. And as of yesterday, we're recording this on Friday the 27th. Yesterday, the Colorado Rockies announced minor league field staffs for the 2017 season. And the new hitting coach of the AAA Albuquerque Isotopes is Darren Everson, who joins the show. Darren, welcome. Congrats on the new gig. How are you?
Thank you. Good. Good to be here, and appreciate the time.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your road to this stage in your Rockies career. Last two seasons, manager with Double A Hartford prior to that Double A New Britain in 2015, Hartford last year. You've been a coach in the organization at various levels, and now you get to move up to the Triple A level. This step for you to go, you know, from being a coach on a staff to being a manager for a couple of years, now back to being a member of a coaching staff at a higher level. What's the biggest adjustment going to be for you 2017, working with a group of guys that are, you know, right on the doorstep of the major leagues and being able to focus on honing that offensive side?
Well, the biggest adjustment, and I'm looking forward to getting back into it, is the time that you spend in the cage with the guys individually and that type of work, the connections you make. And you know, we are there 100% to try to help these guys along and be there for them whenever they need it and help the organization continue to work these guys through and figure out how they tick, that type of stuff, to make sure that we can get them going as well as we can to have an opportunity or an option for them to continue to move up.
Darren, there are a lot of guys who have come through your level over the last couple of seasons. Some of those guys who you will see in 2017 in Albuquerque, but really, really top-end, high-level talent. And at this stage, knowing that so many of those guys are right on the doorstep of the major leagues, obviously we saw, you know, what David Dahl did last year, but Ramel Tapia got his chance in the major leagues. Tom Murphy blew up last year at the end of the year in Triple-A. But even, you know, Ryan McMahon was with you all last season. There's a lot of these guys you've gotten a chance to work with and mold over the last couple of years. To take that step with them, how cool is that for you as a manager and a coach to be able to continue along with them? And what do you think that does for them just in terms of the continuity to get to work with somebody they're already familiar with?
Well, it's great to be able to work with them. You know, our organization has done a great job of number one, bringing guys in, the right type of guys, the guys that are Rocky players, and really they do a nice job of working. They, you know, our whole process is very wide open for them to be able to get in, to show as much improvement as possible, and we're there to help guide them. So, yeah, it's very cool. I thought our staff did a great job last year. It's great to see, you know, two of our guys went up to the big leagues this year, and that was great to see. And it's just, it's fun to watch the organization just grow and you know, to have the people in charge that are, they're doing what they're doing and developing our culture and really making us as an organization start to blossom. It's fun to watch.
Well, this is one of the most exciting times to actually be a Rockies fan we've had in really the last decade or so. And it really is seemingly because of that culture, Darren. And you were a big part of that last year with the Hartford Yard Goats, the team that spent pretty much the entire season on the road. What did you try to impart on those kids every single day to try to help that culture when you're stuck in a situation that is obviously less than ideal?
Yeah, last year was an interesting year. It was one of those things that as it continued to go forward and we weren't going to be in that stadium, the challenges just became more in terms of making sure that the guys did a, you know, basically analysis of themselves, they know where they're going, they know where their feet are. When they show up at the ballpark, whatever ballpark that may be, that they're concentrating and working on the stuff that they need to work on for them to get better. You know, because the minor leagues, it's all about development and getting them through and doing their thing and trying to get the best version of them. So I was really happy. Our staff did a great job last year. And obviously with a lot of things that you're talking about with no stadium and moving around and playing games where there's no fans and that type of stuff. And our staff did a great job. I think our players did a great job of fighting through it. And we had a lull here and there, but the guys did a great job of really getting through the day and understanding the situation that it's something that we can't control. And they did a great job of showing up every day and being where their feet are. So it was a rewarding season that way, and it was great to watch the players develop.
Darren, let's talk a little bit about your background in terms of I love that phrase, being where your feet are, because especially as you climb the minor league ladder, you kind of realize that you don't really have anything else to rely on in a lot of cases than that. And I know for you in your minor league career, you had time in indie ball, you had time in the Red Sox organization, time in the Expos organization, but you played a lot of different places over a lot of seasons. And then as a manager and a coach, you've kind of had that same road where you're in the Marlins organization, you're in indie ball, you're with the Rockies. What does that do for players from your vantage point now as a manager and a coach to be able to kind of pass on, you know, there's not much that's going to happen in a game or on a road trip or in any given situation that you probably haven't seen? How do you think that feeds into what you're like as a manager and a coach and the philosophy that you can impart on young guys?
Well, yeah, the path has been interesting. And you know, last year you learned a lot about yourself and just how much you love the game and how much you love being, you know, at the stadium, whether it's, you know, regardless if it's not your home stadium, that type of stuff. And it's, you know, it's been a very rewarding trail and it's been great ever since I've been with the Rockies. The family organization that they bring and that culture that they bring with that is tremendous. And I'm just trying to continue, or we're trying to just basically just follow that through and they treat us well. And we're trying to replicate that and basically go back and forth with the players to make sure that, you know, our job is to develop these guys. So the more that we can get to know them, the more that we can help get them to where they need to be in the certain situations. The uniqueness of where my path has gone, I've seen a lot of different things. So sometimes I'll be able to impart on some player that, you know, that it can always be this or this or this. It could be different. It could be different things. It could be worse. It could be better. But it's, you know, the mental game is so important for our players to understand that if they come in, they do their thing and they ask the right questions and they want to learn, they want to get better. You know, that's what we are here for. And that's, as minor league instructors, man, we just love doing that and love being around the baseball field.
And Darren, you have one of the most unique challenges facing you, especially as a hitting coach in regards to the altitude. And that's been an issue that the Rockies have been trying to figure out for 23 years now, whether it's hitting on the road, hitting at altitude, or pitching on the road, pitching at altitude. Now, what are the biggest challenges that present themselves in Albuquerque when you are trying to teach these kids hitting at altitude?
Yes, it's you know, from what I understand, it's very similar to Denver, and which is a great thing to have our AAA affiliate to be in a setting that's very similar to Denver. I think it's there's so many benefits on both sides of it, let alone being a great place to play with a great front office there. But, you know, it comes back to trying to hit the ball as hard as you can up the middle and moving your body the right way as a offensive player in the batter's box, and just trying to repeat your actions so you have an opportunity every time to hit a ball hard when you get on plane and square up that ball. So we can't try to outplay the field, or we can't try to let the field or stadium play us. And it's just a matter of going out and doing what we can do as players, as staff, and try to help the players find the best version of themselves.
Hey, do you find it's much more of a psychological issue than it is a physical one? I mean, we hear a lot from players who have played in Denver, played for the Rockies, against the Rockies, saying that they just don't feel right when they go on the road, or they don't see as many fastballs, or they see, you know, fewer curveballs or something along those lines. Is it more of a psychological thing that you have to tell these kids every single day that, you know, the game is still the same no matter where you actually play it?
Yeah, I mean, the awareness of that is definitely something that we will be addressing. And I think a big thing about it, too, is just the recovery. I think the recovery in altitude like that, making sure that you get enough sleep and the water and you're filling your body with good food and doing that, I really think that's a big part of it. So when you have that longer stretch at home and then you go on the road to a non-altitude place, just having the awareness to make little subtle adjustments, understanding the game is still a game and understanding that you might see something a little bit different. And that ability to, I really think the ability to recover, and our organization does a great job of stressing that to the players. And I think that part is a big, big part of the success of our players.
In your experience with the Rockies organization, do you have the kids come up where they talk about the altitude, they talk about Coors Field, they talk about hitting at Coors Field, they talk about pitching at Coors Field? Is that something that they talk about even when they're in the lower levels of the minor league system?
I don't think we talk about it as a problem or a good thing. They just know that's the destination. And I think that we can't get caught up with that. The game will let us know, you know, what they need to work on and what they need to do. And if they get caught up in one level or three levels or four levels away and what's going on with that place and what we need to try to do to get ready, you know, their mind, all the players' minds can race a little bit. They want to go fast. And when you're not in a hurry to get there, you give yourself an opportunity to really dive into what makes you great as a player. And the repeatability of that, I think, is huge. So in terms of the discussion of it, I don't think there's a whole lot of discussion in terms of the worry or that type of stuff with it. It's more be where your feet are, compete when you can compete, do your thing, and be aggressive.
Darren, one of the things that, since we started this podcast, I know a lot of Rockies fans have mentioned to us is how interested they are in learning more of the relationship between the major league side and the minor league side, and kind of how an organization like the Rockies, which has to build from within, how you build those organizational philosophies and what exactly that means from, you know, Jeff Breidich and Bud Black on down to the staffs at the lower levels, and how that progresses. For you, joining now a coaching staff, Glenn Allen Hill's back at the managerial spot in Albuquerque. It'll be his fifth season there. And for you to take over the role as hitting coach now, how much of your work will be sort of dictated by an organizational philosophy and how you handle guys, and how much of it is you drawing on your own personal experience as a hitting coach? What's that relationship like for the way you develop guys as a coach?
For us, it's, you know, we're always trying to come up with the same message, you know, from organization, from top to bottom. And it really shows with the amount of minor league coaches that moved up to the big leagues this year. I think it is outstanding. You know, and what that does is it gives us a lot of, you know, back and forth in terms of communication. I think communication is so important. You know, obviously in the AAA level where you get willing to have guys coming, you know, going down, going up, I think it's vital to their success to be on the same page. And organizationally, we do a great job with Jeff and with Zach Wilson. I think that, you know, the communication part is very strong. And our message is basically trying to get the best out of the player, whatever that means, whatever that entails. If knowing what type of player he is. How do we get him to a certain level? How do we get him back to feeling good? That feel of understanding what the player does when he's feeling good, and to be able to bring him back to that spot is a huge thing. You know, organizationally, it's organization wide. You know, how we're going to try to attack offensively, and how we're going to try to go out and play Rockies baseball, and we're very excited about that.
Well, let's talk about a couple of guys who were with you last year, and I know over the last two seasons you've gotten to see a lot of David Dahl, and the baseball world got introduced to him in a major way toward the end of last year. And one of the guys that we're really in love with on the prospect side is Ramel Tapia, who I think people have started to kind of realize is not going away. For so long at the lower levels of his career, a lot of the book on him was eventually he's going to be exposed, but he continues to go out and hit 320 at every possible level. You know, for those couple of guys and for some of the other prospects who came through last year, that roster was so talented. What was their individual progression like? What stood out to you about those guys and guys like Ryan McMahon and Rosel Herrera, some of those other prospects who had seasons with you last year, the last couple of years?
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought there were, you know, I thought there was a lot of improvement throughout the whole squad that we had. You talk about Tapia and just, you know, he started slow and then went off and did his thing. He the barrel stays in the zone for a long time with him. And, you know, he is fun to watch. He does a great job of putting that ball, the barrel on that ball, and hits the balls very hard. And, you know, as you talk about the other guys, obviously you got to see Dahl a lot last year up in the big leagues. And the way he was moving his body last year, he was locked in. He was ready to go, and he made some big, you know, made some big strides mentally in the years that I've seen him. And just great to see him continue to move up and go up there and do well. You know, it's obviously great to have players move up, but it's really great to have players move up and try and being able to make an impact when they get there. And that's, you know, that makes us as a minor league staffs, minor league coaches, that type of stuff, be very proud. And we were very excited to see those guys that moved up last year to the big leagues do well, and hopefully continue to do well this year in the future. And continue to play the Rocky way. So we're very excited about it.
Yeah, and speaking of somebody else who came up to the big league last year, had a little bit of an impact, especially late in September, Herman Marquez, who had a phenomenal season coming over from the Tampa Bay Rays organization. What can you tell us about him to look forward to this year? Because as of right now, going into spring training, he's in the mix for that fifth starting spot in the Rockies rotation at the big league level.
Yeah, Herman was great last year, and it was fun to watch him. I was fortunate enough to go to the big leagues for the last couple of weeks and to be able to watch these guys compete and go play. And it was great to watch him just continue to do what he did for us in Double A. And, you know, he has such effortless delivery in terms of how he goes and attacks the strike zone, and the ball jumps out of his hand. I think that, you know, as he just continues, he wants to learn. He's always asking questions. He wants to improve. He wants to get better. And Dave Berman did a great job with him in Double-A and the rest of the guys as he continued to move forward. And it was great to see him, you know, do well. And he's got a live arm, and he wants to do well. He wants to improve. He wants to continually get more feedback and more knowledge on how to improve. And when you have that combination, as you guys know, that's a special opportunity there.
Darren Everson, manager of the Hartford Yard Goats last year, the New Britain Rock Cats the season before that, and the 2017 hitting coach for the Albuquerque Isotopes at AAA. Darren, we'll get you out of here on this. Last year, 74-67 for the Yard Goats, all of those games without a home ballpark. You get a promotion to AAA, which is obviously very awesome, but I have to ask, is there a little part of you that's somewhat annoyed that you went through an entire season on the road and you don't even get to open up Dunkin' Donuts Park now?
No, actually, it's you know, I think it's one of those things that when you're in the moment of what's going on, and you're preparing in January for it, and you're preparing in March, and then you get to the season, and then you find out that you're not going to get in there. You know, it was one of those things that we had to take care of business with what we had, and it was what the best part about it was, our guys were great, and the guys really came together. They grew as a group, grew as a family. And you know, the unique part was going in and doing our developmental time when we're on the road, and the all the stadiums that were up in the league were very courteous and all that stuff, and we were able to do our thing. And I think the staff this year is going to do a great job, and they're going to open up. I'm happy for the fans up there, happy for the ownership group and the front office there, because you know, no one wants to go through what we had to go through last year. But they did a great job of helping us out. Zach Wilson did a great job of helping us out along with the Rockies in terms of the management, just helping us get through it and doing everything they could to make it as good a situation as possible. And now Jerry Weinstein's going up there, and he's going to do a great job opening that stadium. And the rest of the guys up there with the staff, I think it's going to be, you know, it really is a gem of a stadium. And it's going to be great for the city. It's going to be great for the fans. And very happy for them, and I hope they have a great season.
Well, and you get a pretty cool reward, too, in Isotopes Park. And congratulations on a great couple of years in the Eastern League, and best of luck this year in the PCL. We'll be watching, and thanks a ton for joining us. We really appreciate it, Darren.
You bet. Thank you.
Good man, that Darren Evers.
Yeah, what a guy. That was cool. It was good to get a chance to talk. I mean, I can't even fathom – everybody who went through that Hartford situation last year was such a good sport about it. Like, everybody that you talked to was like, oh, you know, I mean, it was tough, but everybody gets dealt their hand of adversity, and it helped bring us together, and we all did a good job with it. That had to have sucked a lot of the time. Like, that had to have been annoying.
We talk like once a month in the off season, and even then I'm just like, oh,
yeah,
that's
like way too much. It's way too much.
Yeah.
I agree. Darren Everson will be on that Albuquerque staff. For those of you who are listening in Topes country, the Rockies were in Albuquerque today with the four members of the club that traveled down there for the caravan. Trevor Story was there. Adam Ottavino was there. Bud Black. Bud Black just seems like such a nice dude. Really excited for that with Bud Black. Just
Weiss was on Wednesday. Wednesday, David Dahl nearly sunk a half quarter at the Wyoming game.
That was pretty cool. John Gray, when they went yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, they went to Grand Junction. John Bay. They posted a picture, and it looked like he was wearing something under his jersey with the collar popped because his neck was covered. And then I just realized it was his hair. Like, he's still rocking that mane. Still got that going on.
Would you cut it? Yeah. I don't want Samson on my hands.
You know, that's true. That is true. We can't have him cut it because if he loses the power that we saw at the end of last year, I can't handle it.
If it works for Noah Syndergaard, it can work for John Gray.
That's true. That is true. If you're just a giant man who throws 100 miles an hour, you have to have that hair now. It's a baseball rule. It's an unwritten rule.
Yeah.
Which,
like, I bet he could definitely find some ghosts.
That's probably
in his hair.
I wonder if he's done that on the little caravan trips. He's like, Grand Junction, we got to go to this place. There's ghosts there. John Gray hunts ghosts, for those of you who don't know.
Google. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes, that was a weird non sequitur if you had no idea what we were talking about.
What are they talking about? No, really, but John Gray hunts ghosts, is awesome.
Yeah, actually, he hunts ghosts.
Which is awesome. It's very cool. Yeah. Here is what is on the docket for the PDP. Well, not really any specifics, but we're going to be getting back into more regular programming as the season gets closer and closer. The spring training report days are coming up very soon for position players and pitchers and catchers. The Rockies pitchers and catchers have not yet announced their report day, but first workout is scheduled for February 14th, so I would imagine it'll be February 13th.
Because they know that we love them so much.
Exactly. First full team workout will be 6 days after Valentine's Day. That's February 20th.
They know we love February 20th so much.
Which I do. No, not really. I don't know anything about February 20th. But then the Rockies will get things started for spring training with their very first game on the 25th. So we're inside of a month to the very first game of spring training. They will take on, guess who? The D-backs at Salt River Fields at Talking Stick on February 25th. I'm planning on going down there the week prior to when I come to L.A., but fully sorted that yet. But either way, we'll have some cool stuff coming for you from spring training. And Anthony and I will be hanging out for the World Baseball Classic together and, you know, screaming how much we love freedom at Giancarlo Stanton and Nolan Arenado and all the rest of our man crushes. It's going to be fun.
Well, as long as our rights aren't taken away by that.
Well, true, which is entirely as long as the U.S. team makes it there. Which is as dicey as anything these days.
If I'm just, you know, cheering for Shinsu Chu, I'm going to be a little upset.
He had to drop out.
Oh, okay. Well, then even then.
An injury. Some kind of
injury. Well, it better be, then Team Italy better make it so I can at least work for Brendan Nimmo, who is apparently playing center field for Team Italy this year.
That'll be cool. That'll be
cool. Which I'm very excited about. Wyoming, Italy tied. It's like he was made for me.
Yeah, that's true. Did you ever try to ask him out before you and Nicole started dating?
I did. He wasn't interested.
He wasn't interested? I wouldn't be either.
He's got a nice little life there for himself.
I wouldn't be interested in you either. I'm not interested in you now as a
podcast. You knew his brother.
But, yeah, he was nice. He was very nice. Actually, Brandon Nimmo is super friendly, too. I don't feel like you can be like a kid who comes out of rural Wyoming and busts your ass. He's the first-round pick ever taken out of the state.
Okay, listen. I don't think rural Wyoming, he's from Cheyenne. That's the big city.
Oh, okay. That's true. Okay. That's true.
He's a city boy.
But I don't think you can be that without being, like, super humble, hardworking, nice guy. Like, he's just automatically the nicest dude.
It'd be really
hard
super
cool
to be that kind of dick.
Yeah, that is true. But, yeah, so we'll have more regular episodes coming up. And we will get you all set for spring training and the World Baseball Classic and then the 2017 season and beyond. We already have our first guest booked for the regular season in 2017 because Travis Sarandos, who's one of our favorite pals on Twitter, he's a Brewers guy. And as we know, that legendary Rockies-Brewers opening day rivalry kicks off another season.
Don't miss it.
Get excited. Fire it up. So that'll do it for episode number 93. Big thanks to Darren Everson and a big thanks to you for tuning in. And until next time, and undetermined amount of time between now and our next episode, but probably soon. Until then, enjoy all of the things that you love in life while we still have them. Bye.